It seems like just a few days ago that we lit the first candle of the Advent wreath. But here we are, 3 weeks later, and the wreath is entirely lit, reminding us that the season of Advent is almost over. A time of preparing for our own meeting of God at the end of time and the end of our lives, but to prepare ourselves more specifically during these last days for the celebration of Christmas. So today I would like to talk about two central mysteries of our faith, the virgin birth and also the incarnation. But before doing that, I'd like to reflect on today's scripture readings. As always, the readings are more about God than they are about us. And that's the kind of focus I ask you to accompany me with as we look at these readings. What do these readings tell us about God and his love for us? The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the second book of Samuel, and it describes a moment in the life of King David, who was the most significant and most important king in the history of the Jews. He's the one who brought together both the kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdoms as one country. And at this moment, King David had conquered all his enemies. He had conquered the inhabitants of a city called Jerusalem and had moved in there and made that city his capital, the capital of his kingdom. And he built himself a palace. And then he began to think about his relationship with God. And he became concerned because although he had a palace in which he was living, God, who dwelt in the Ark of the Covenant, was living in a tent. This is before the building of the temple in Jerusalem. And you might remember that when the Jewish people were wandering in the desert, God accompanied them at night as a pillar of fire and during the day as a cloud. And once the Jewish people had been given the Ten Commandments, they were put into a chest called the Ark of the Covenant. And this Ark of the Covenant led the Jewish people through the desert, and when they stopped, a tent was built, and the Ark of God was put in the tent. It was called the meeting tent, because that's where God would meet Moses and Aaron, the leaders of the Jewish people. So God was dwelling in the Ark of the Covenant in a tent, and King David was living in a palace. What do you think of that? You know, it seemed to David that the things were reversed, that somehow he had a better situation than God. And so in this reading, he goes to the prophet, Nathan, who was a prophet that constantly called David to be a better king and a better man, and said, I want to build the temple to the Lord. And the first reaction of the prophet Nathan was, okay, it sounds like a good idea, go ahead and do it. But then he had a dream. And in this dream, God said to the prophet and said to King David, you want to build a temple for me? You want to build me a house? No. Instead of you building me a house, I will make your house, you know, the community, the family of King David, I will make your house the rulers of the kingdom of Israel for all, forever in history. And one of your descendants shall be the greatest king in the history of the world. Now, God has a habit of changing our plans. And that's what happens in this reading. You know, King David had a plan. It was a pretty nice plan. It was a way of honoring God. But God had a more important plan and a more beautiful plan. And that plan was not to honor himself, but to honor King David and all of us, because that prediction that the descendant of King David would be the greatest king ever comes to fulfillment in the birth of Jesus of Nazareth, who is also a descendant of King David and who is the Savior of the world. This teaches us that God cannot be outdone in generosity. You know, whenever we want to do something for God, God wants to do something more for us. And what God really wants to do for us is to love us. And the incarnation of God in the person of Jesus Christ is the clear and certain sign of God's love for us. In today's gospel reading, we have Mary and Joseph, who also made plans. The plans were to marry one another and to have a family, you know, like most people do. And God came and disrupted their plans. And although their plan was wonderful and beautiful, you know, marriage is a wonderful thing, and the love of a husband for a wife and wife for a husband is spectacular, God wanted to use Mary and Joseph in a unique and special way to give himself in love to the world. And Mary became the mother of Jesus, who is God become one of us. Which brings us into the mysteries that I want to talk about today, which are the mysteries of the virgin birth and the mysteries of the incarnation. Now, what is the mystery of the virgin birth? We heard it described in today's gospel, where Mary was betrothed to Joseph. That meant she was partially married to him. They had made their commitments to one another already, but apparently she was too young to move into the house with Joseph, and that was going to happen later. But they had betrothed themselves to one another, and the angel of the Lord came to Mary and spoke to her and said to her, Hail, that means hello, you are full of grace. And what grace is a dynamic relationship with God. I mean, this 14-year-old girl, this young virgin growing up in the backwaters of Israel, was called by the angel a person who is full of the dynamic life of God. And this is one of the reasons why Catholics make such a big deal about Mary, the mother of Jesus. I mean, she's one of us, a human being like the rest of us, but she was the one of us that pleased God the most. She was full of grace. And the angel promised her that she would become the mother of the Savior, who was the descendant of King David. And her response to that was confusion, and she was afraid, the scriptures tell us. And she said to the angel, how is this possible? I don't know a man. You know, Mary knew how babies came about, you know, in the same way they come about today, a loving relationship of a man and a woman for one another. And in response to her confusion and that question, the angel said to her, let's get the words exactly, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. Now, that's quite an extraordinary promise. And, of course, the question that we might ask ourselves is, why did God choose, when he became a man in Jesus Christ, to come in such an extraordinary way? Why didn't he come to us in the same way that children come to an ordinary family? Why didn't Jesus have a human father like we all do? Why was the Holy Spirit involved in the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary? And the church is, you know, the church doesn't believe this is just a figure. We believe it really happened. And it happened because God wants us always to understand that Jesus, who is our Savior, is not the result of anything that we do. We don't save ourselves, but is simply the result of a pure gift from God. You know, the Father, working through the Holy Spirit, is the source of the birth, the virgin birth of Jesus, the conception of Jesus in the womb of Mary, his mother. So salvation comes from God and not from us. Now, of course, Mary, the woman who's full of grace, cooperated with the plan of God. So, you know, that's what we have to do too when God comes to us in our lives. But grace is not something we earn. Grace is not something that is a result of good things that we accomplish in this world. The word grace means the unearned, unmerited love and presence of God in our lives. Jesus is a result of that kind of love that God has for us. This love of God for us results in what we call the incarnation, which is a very big word, but it's at the center of our Christian faith. You know, Christians have a unique understanding of God, and that uniqueness is described as God is a Holy Trinity. God is one, but at the same time, three. God is one God, but at the same time, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Father and the Son are not the Holy Spirit. All persons of the Trinity are distinct persons. But these three distinct persons are just one God. And in the course of human history, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Son, chose to become a human being in the womb of Mary of Nazareth, as described for us in today's gospel. So we do, Christians, we really do believe that God became a man, that he took on our human flesh. The word incarnation comes from Latin words that means in the flesh, that God embraced our human nature, becoming one of us in Jesus of Nazareth. And that's what we'll be celebrating as we celebrate Christmas on this coming Thursday, the birth of the one who took flesh in the womb of Mary 9 months before his birth. And that's why we celebrate, that God loves us so much that he became one of us, to share with us, to share our life in a unique and special kind of way. Now, Muslims don't believe this, and our Jewish brothers and sisters who share our faith in the Old Testament don't believe this. This is a unique part of what it means to be a Christian, that God became one of us. And this is extraordinary because it's a sign of how much God loves us. God doesn't only love us as a father. God also loves us by embracing our human nature, by becoming one of us in the person of Jesus Christ, who is true God and true man. That's really true. It's really quite extraordinary. We give ourselves away to the people we love, right? And that's what Jesus is doing. I mean, God in Jesus Christ is giving himself away to the human race, to not just the human race as a group, but to each member of the human race, which is each one of us. He loves us uniquely and in a very special way, and we celebrate that love as we celebrate the Feast of Christmas. So what we need to do as we prepare for the next during the next 4 days for Christmas is to spend some time thinking about this, thinking about the uniqueness of our Christian faith and the extraordinary generosity of the love of God. And we give gifts at Christmas to imitate the generosity of God. You know, as we learned in the first reading, God's generosity is always higher than, bigger than ours. But it's important for us to respond to God's love by loving God in return. And that's what he wants from us. Just as he gives himself to us in the incarnation, he wants us to give ourselves to him in love. And we ask the Lord to give us this grace as we celebrate the Feast of Christmas.